It has nothing to do with anything we can do. There's hope because of Jesus. And I've been saying this the last couple weeks, and I really believe we need to really start praying about this too, that this message of hope needs to somehow penetrate into the hearts of hopeless people. Because it really is true. If you're hopeless, some of you know what that feels like. You've been hopeless in your life. But if you really believe you're hopeless, and you believe there's nothing that's ever going to change, and you believe that this is just this pattern of life, or this pattern of sin that you're caught up in, and you think this is just the way it's always going to be, I'm never going to get out of this, that's a definition of hopelessness. But the definition of Jesus Christ is that there is great hope, and that there's nothing that he can't do, and that he will save you, and he's still got the same power that he did when he was here on earth. He still has that resurrection power, and he has the power to instill hope in lives that are hopeless. You just got to hear this today. There's hope for you. Amen? There was hope for me, there's hope for you. And that's just all that God is about. He's all about hope. He just keeps saying, trust in me, and I will get you through this. I'll get you out of this rut. I will get you out of this hellhole. I will bring you and put your feet on a solid ground. Right? And our God, listen to me, our God is real. And if he's not, we should just leave now, and we should just do something different. I've said this many times, but let's stop playing church. A lot of times I say, let's go curling, because I've never done much curling. Let's do that instead. If this isn't real, if God is not powerful, if God is not risen, then let's stop doing this. Let's sell the building and do whatever else, but let's not do this unless this is real. And if this is real, then we ought to believe it and we ought to live for it, because if we don't, then we're just being liars and we're being hypocrites. That's true. We've got a God who is all-powerful, who can do more than we can ever imagine, the scripture says. Our God can do more than we can even put our heads around. He does so much. And I can think of a couple of examples even just right here, right now. Karen, you're here today. God bless you. Amen. Struggling with cancer, but not struggling. I know that because God is powerful and he's healing you and he's touching you. And it's, you know, you haven't been here for a while for a lot of reasons, mostly because of the treatments you've had to go and because of the different kind of germs that these people have, a lot of germs, so, you know. Is it okay if we pray for you? I'm just going to ask Kim to pray. You can pray loudly, right, Kim? Pray for Karen, and let's pray. You can extend our hands to her, and let's pray for complete healing for our sister.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus' name. The name of Jesus. Yeah. Amen. Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Yes. Jesus, precious. Mm-hmm. Greater things, God. Greater things, God. Amen. Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. On another note, and a personal note, on behalf of my family, and Crystal's not here today because she's here, but she's in the nursery today. But I want to thank you for praying for my little grandson, who happens to be here today. He's the one that's bundled up there. Yeah. He was born 7 pounds, 8 ounces. His name is Isaac, and he was born healthy and strong, a miracle of God, even though the doctor said that he'd never make it, and they said, you might as well not even try. God is greater. God is greater. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We are so very blessed. And then just, I'm going to have a prayer. I don't see Gaston here. He was here. All right. We're going to pray for Kara, because just heard that Kara has some medical issues, that she's got a lump that the doctors are worried about, and I don't think we should wait for the doctors to tell us what it is, because it doesn't matter. Will you just join me in praying for our sister Kara? God, thank you that you know everything, that you are Almighty God, that you are the great physician, and we just lift Kara up before you right now. And Lord, you are well aware of what's going on. So I just pray that Kara would be in your hands, that you would just remove this lump, that they would find, Lord, if they do check it out, that it's just benign, that there is no cancer, there's nothing malignant here. Lord, we pray that you would extend her life and that you would just give her health and strength. And you're the one, Lord, in your word, you said that we should pray. If one of you is sick, that we should anoint with oil, and the elders, the leaders, and all the people should pray. So we're just trying to be obedient to your word today, and we want to pray for Kara and for Gaston as well as he stands in support of his wife. And we just pray, God, for a great healing to happen and for you to intervene here, and that, Lord, we'll be able to continue to just to see the mighty things that you do. We see this, Lord, in Isaac's life. We see this in Karen's life, that you are a mighty and a powerful God. You do things beyond belief. You do things beyond what we can ever imagine. And, Lord, we ask that today for Kara, who's not here as well. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen? Amen. Annie's going to come up and share a little bit about what God has been doing, what God does. We love you.
Because we all know I'm different. When I first came here, I was at a woman's shelter in Red Deer, and Linda Redcalf read me this Bible verse. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. This is my testimony. It took me a while to realize through God, my past is forgotten and forgiven. By his blood, it's been washed away. Coming to Red Deer, I came home in many ways. I found God. I found peace. God has put so many wonderful people in my life. I have a pastor who I thought when I first met him was nuts. Now I know he is. I have a landlord who's one of the nicest, kindest people that God could ever put in my life. When I messed up and did drugs for a month, I phoned him with my stuff packed, expecting him to say, get out. But instead, we'll work it out. You're not going anywhere. And boy, did he make me work. Through Gertie Clark, I found what a mother's love was like. God has put so many wonderful people who taught me that I am worth something, that I am lovable, because I am his child. When, this is the hardest part, when the church was doing the fundraiser dinners, I was in a bad state, and I messed up. I went to Stan, and I went to Chris, asking for their forgiveness. And they said it was forgotten, it was forgiven. But to me, it wasn't forgotten. They gave me the honor and the privilege to make a wrong a right. I have one payment left to make. I mess up, I'm forgiven. It's a new concept. It's, I don't know how to explain it. It's love. It's God's love. It's His understanding. It's His peace. I can look in the mirror now and see somebody worth loving instead of seeing what I saw all my life. Every morning I get up, and when I do look in the mirror, I go, Satan, get thee behind me. You have no place in front. Only God has a place in front of me, on the side of me, and on the back of me. And the only one who can destroy that love? Nobody. Because no matter what I do, God loves me for me. How many people here have made mistakes and thought, this was it, there's no more? But knowing God is there holding my hand every step of my way. I once told Stan I had a self-destruct button. And he looked at me and he said, you want to destroy your life, you do it on your own. Because I'm not going to stand by and watch. July the 28th at 6:50 a.m., I used for the last time. Haven't touched it since. October the 12th, 2012, I had my last drink. Haven't touched it since. But I did it because I have God, and with Him, I can face anything and anybody that comes at me. And only through Him. I'm done.
Man, Jesus.
Father God, I ask you to put the words in Stan's mouth that everybody needs to hear today.
Yes, God.
Let them listen. Let them wake up mm-hmm. and realize that it's you and through your salvation and through your grace that we need it. Yeah. And I ask you to put a hedge of protection around the Shock family today and every day as they need it. I ask you all of this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Annie. Thanks. Amen. Isn't that great? Just to be reminded of what God does. That He really, truly does change lives. And He takes us out of the darkness and He brings us into the light. And I like Annie's story because it isn't perfect. Because it's still got some flaws along the way. And it's a process that, you know, sometimes we make great gains and then there's a bit of a loss and then there's more great gains. And God's good. And I know that you've made all those great gains. And we believe it too. You're not going back. We know you're not going back to the drugs. And you're not going back to the alcohol. And God is so good because He empowers us to do the things that He wants us to do, the things that we need to happen in our lives. Amen? Amen. So I'm encouraged by that, and I guess I'm hoping that there's others here who are encouraged as well. And just know this, that if you're listening to this today and you're going, well, I need that, but I don't have it in my life. I need that hope, but I don't experience that hope. I want this Jesus. I want to be free, but I'm not living in freedom. Then you're at the right place because this is where freedom gets handed out. And it gets handed out by grace. It doesn't get handed out because you're such a good person or because you're such a wonderful Christian. It gets handed out by Jesus, not by anyone else. And He says, all you need to do is come to me and call on my name and you will be saved. He makes it so simple. We make it so complicated, but Jesus makes it so simple. He just says, just believe in me. All you need to know is this. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. And you just need to believe it and accept it. And at the end of our service today, there'll be opportunity for you to come forward if there's something to come forward about. And maybe there's just something you're not really free from that you need to get set free from. Or maybe you're lacking in hope or in freedom. It's time then to come to Jesus. And really, that's what Easter's about. I believe that if we didn't do that, if I didn't offer you that opportunity, we could celebrate, we could sing, we could go up from the grave you rose and have a great rousing chorus. But if we don't hear the message that's for you and it's for me personally, then we're missing the point, right? We're missing the point. This is offered by Jesus today. He is alive now. You get that? Jesus he's risen today, not just risen on that first resurrection Sunday. He is risen today, and he lives here today because he lives in us, right? So we need to get a good handle on that. We need to understand that, and we need the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit. None of us can make it. No matter how much willpower you have, it'll never be good enough. You need God power. And the God power that we have is the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit is in this place because Jesus is alive. Because he lives. He lives. Amen. Good. You're with me. Let's open our Bibles today to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to read that story of the women coming to the tomb. And I just have a few words I want to share with you about that. But Matthew chapter 28, we're going to read there. Matthew chapter 28, one of the greatest chapters. I love the story. I love preaching about this. I love being reminded again of the living Christ and how they came to the tomb. And they were just so, you know, started off so sad and down and wondering, you know, what's going on and finding out that Jesus, he's not dead. My God's not dead. He's surely alive. Amen? Doug's going to sing a little later on a special number. Just save that, Doug. Get a mic ready for him. He's roaring like a lion. God's not. I'll join you, okay? Okay, let's read these words. Let these words absorb. Let them sink in today. God, just as we read this, I just would ask that would really be true, that our hearts will be fertile ground, ready to just receive your word and hear exactly the message that you want to say to us, God. We believe that you're alive. We believe that it's in you that we live and breathe and have our being, that we move because you move in us. Let your word be true today. Let your word speak deep into our hearts. Jesus, we need you. Jesus, we really need you today. We cry out. Our heart cries out to you. Inject the hope into our hearts and just set your people free today, God. And I pray too, Lord, that you'll open our eyes today so that for once we will see the incredible power that is at our fingertips. It's there for the asking. We read your word now. Holy Spirit, lead us today. For the sake of the risen Savior, Jesus, we pray. Amen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. And we're supposed to giggle at that point. It was written for us to go, that's funny, and it is funny. These mighty men of the Roman guards, these mighty soldiers. Bloop. It's okay to laugh. The scripture has humor in it. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." And so the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid and yet filled with joy, and they ran to tell his disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them. Greetings. Can you imagine this? You're just going along on the way, and all of a sudden, bam, there's Jesus. Greetings. Oh. Greetings, he said, and they came to him, and they clasped his feet. In other words, they grabbed him around the ankles, and they worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. You say amen? It's interesting, and we're going to get to this in a bit, about how two times in this passage we're told that the disciples were to go to Galilee. And as a matter of fact, Jesus told them that before he even went to the cross. He said, it's going to happen that I'm going to die. He told them all of this stuff. He said, I'm going to die, and on the third day I will rise from the dead, and then I want you to meet me in Galilee. He told them that, and I think that's in Matthew 24. And then he says it two times in this passage as well. They recall that event. They recall when he says that Jesus has risen, and that tell his disciples to go ahead of him to Galilee, and that Jesus actually, when he speaks to them, he reiterates it. He says it again. Go and tell the disciples, he's talking to the women, go and find Peter and Andrew and the other guys and tell them to meet me in Galilee. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. And I think it's really a significant teaching. It's not something we should gloss over. If in this little passage that tells us about the resurrection, these 11 verses, if we're told to do this two times, that we should go to Galilee, we probably should listen to this, or at least we should be asking ourselves the question, what is this about? What does this mean? We're going to get to that. I think I've said that three times now. So, Jesus is alive, and one of the things that we are really clear about when we read this passage or any of the stories of Jesus' resurrection is that he has nothing to do with death. Jesus is not in the tomb. And we'll start with that today. Jesus is not in the grave. Do you believe that? Jesus is alive, and he doesn't hang out where there's death. He doesn't, because he is life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection, and I am the life. And that's why it was a really good question when they said, you know, Jesus, he's not here. He is alive. He is risen. He is not here. There's kind of two parts to that statement. It's not just that he has risen. We know that he's risen. That's great news. But here's the other part of it. And Jesus is not here. He's not here at the grave anymore. We ought to stop going back to the grave. You hear me? We ought to stop going back to what's dead in our lives. And as Annie put it so clearly, that's not Annie anymore. That's the old Annie. We need to stop going back to what has died in us, because what has died in us has been put to death through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of the resurrected Lord. And we need to stop going back to the grave. Right? And that's one of the reasons. You can clap. That's okay. Makes me. There we go. Right? We tend sometimes to go back to those old things in our lives, when really Jesus said, this is a whole new thing I'm doing in you. I'm going to do something fresh. I am going to invigorate you. I'm going to give you a life that you've never experienced before, because I am all about life, Jesus said. I am life, and I am going to put my life in you through the power of the Holy Spirit. So quit going back to the grave. The grave has been dealt with. It's been done. I am raised from the dead, and so are you. You are raised from the dead. You no longer are a citizen of that tomb. The tomb is empty. It's empty. He is risen, but he's not here. Like, that's an important thing. Jesus didn't spend a couple days just hanging out at the tomb. You don't see him sitting on a rock for very long. He says, I got to go. I'm going to Galilee. He doesn't hang out there to meet with his disciples. What he really says is, I'm done with this whole death thing. I have overcome death. I have conquered death. I am the risen king. Amen? I am the risen king. And so, you know, what it really means is it's time that we start living like we're alive. If that doesn't sound too redundant, I'm sorry if it does, but it's time we start living like we're actually alive. You know, where is the joy? Where is the vibrancy of the resurrected Christ who lives in me? I need to hang around Christians who are really on fire for Jesus Christ. I need to get away from the ones who are dead or who are dying. And I want this church, and I know that it's God's desire that this body, that this church becomes more and more like Him, more and more alive, more and more filled with joy. Yeah, you can get, right? We need to live like we're alive. You know, live like you have the life of Christ in you. Do you realize that? He has washed you clean. There is no condemnation. He is the life who is in you. Man, it's time we started living like it. There should be a joy in us that is, as Peter says, that is unspeakable and inutterable. There should be joy that just pours from us. Like, it's just almost scary to sit next to someone like you or me, right? We need to be alive. We need to be alive. Sometimes churches are so dead. We even build them sometimes like they're tombs. They're dark and they're long and narrow and there's few windows, if any, sometimes. And it reminds me of the story of a little girl who went to a church with her grandmother, and it was a church where everyone was really quiet and the benches were polished and everyone was just, there was not a noise. And she said, "Grandma." And as soon as she said "Grandma," someone went, "Shh." And she said, she whispered a little quieter, she said, "Grandma, who are we hiding from?" Right? How many of you been in a church where it feels like you're hiding from someone? Let's not be that church. Let's be alive. Let's be filled with the joy that Christ has placed in us because He is risen. He's my Savior. He gives me the Holy Spirit, and it's bubbling and bubbling over. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. He created me to live. He did not create me to die. He created me to live. He created me to serve Him. He created me to be obedient to Him. He created me to show and to shine a light that is bright. And it's time we do that. And it's, you know, it's really time we just understand what kind of power there is in having the life of Christ in us. Okay, you got that so far? Let's talk about Galilee, because I think this is so important. When Jesus says to His disciples, "I'll meet you in Galilee," I think the question we need to ask is, why Galilee? Why doesn't He say, "I'll meet you in Jerusalem," or "I'll meet you in Capernaum," or "I'll meet you, you know, somewhere else"? He says, "No, I'm going to meet you in Galilee." And I want to try to explain to you this morning why Galilee is so important. First of all, remember with me, I won't read the whole story, but recall with me that when Jesus does meet with His disciples in Galilee, and we get that story in John, I believe it's John 20, that when Jesus does meet with His disciples in Galilee, they're fishing again, and they're out on the water, and they're not catching fish. You remember that story? And Jesus has resurrected from the grave, and He's there on the beach. He's making a little breakfast, and they're out in the water, and they're fishing, and they're just having no success, which for experienced fishermen is just plain frustrating. And Jesus cries out, or calls out to them. He says, "Hey, guys, why don't you throw your nets on the other side of the boat?" And, they do. They're obedient. We can get into a lot of things here, but they do. They throw their nets, and suddenly there's 168 fish, it says in John. I'm not sure that's exactly the number, but they catch 160-some fish, and they have to jump out of the boat. 153, I exaggerated. Okay. It's a fishing story, okay? You're allowed to exaggerate a little bit on fishing stories. They jump out of the boat, and they pull the net to shore, and Jesus has a breakfast of fish already for them. You need to know, this is what happens at Galilee. What's going to happen when Jesus meets His disciples in Galilee? What's this really all about? Well, this is what it's about, that when this happens, Peter looks at all the other disciples, and you know what he says? "It's the Lord." "It's the Lord," he said. "Hey, guys, it's Jesus." That's what happens at Galilee. At Galilee, they recognize that Jesus is alive. They see Him. They cry out to each other, "It's the Lord, it's the Lord, it's the Lord. This is exciting." Let's get the fish in, you know? And the second thing that happens at Galilee that's really important is that Jesus reinstates Peter. It's the next thing that happens in the chapter. Again, we're not going to read it. You read it later. But where Jesus looks at Peter and He says, "Peter, Do you love me? And then the second time, Peter, do you really love me? And then the third time, he says, Peter, do you honestly love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, I love you. And he says it three times. Why I'm bringing it up? Because you need to know this too, that at Galilee, it's about forgiveness. We go to Galilee to meet Jesus because it's where he restores us. We go to Galilee because at Galilee, he looks, he says, Dave, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what kind of life you've lived. It doesn't matter all the good things, all the bad things. What matters is this, do you love me? Yeah, and you do. What matters is Jesus says, I forgive you, and I restore you, and I tell you to feed my lambs, and I tell you to feed my sheep. What matters at Galilee, what happens at Galilee is we see Jesus and we declare him as our Lord. It's the Lord. And then what happens is something absolutely amazing is that we have a restored relationship again with the living Christ. And he just looks us in the eye and he goes, do you love me? That's all I'm going to ask you. It's the only thing that I require. It's all I care about. I don't care about what your long list is of Bible schools you went to or all the accomplishments that you've done for me. My question is, do you love me? And if you can say yes to that, then feed my sheep and come into my arms, is what Jesus says. Feed my sheep and come into my arms. Amen? But I want to just add one other thing about this that I think I hadn't realized until just this week as I was doing some studying on this and reading on this. But what you need to know, too, about Galilee, and this is, I think, so important, is that it's in Galilee where everything started. And if you just turn with me in Matthew chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, I want you just to notice this. In Matthew chapter 4, we're told about how Jesus called his first disciples. You know where he called them? In Galilee is where he called them. And you know where Jesus did his most powerful miracles? It was in Galilee. It was in Galilee where he fed the 5,000. It was in Galilee where he walked on the water, on the Sea of Galilee. Some of the most amazing things that God did, that Jesus God did, happened in Galilee. But just get this. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, listen to this. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And that's sort of similar to what we just heard about, what happens in John 20. They're fishing again, right? Anyways, they're fishing, and Jesus says to them, come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And at once they left their nets, at once they left their nets, and they followed him. And going on from there, Jesus saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and his brother John, and they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus said to them, Jesus called to them the same thing, come and follow me. And immediately, we're told, immediately they left their father and they followed him. Understand this, that everything started in Galilee. You get that? That Jesus was in Galilee calling his disciples. He said, Andrew, Peter, follow me. James and John, follow me. And so here's the point. When Jesus tells his disciples, meet me in Galilee, you know what he's really saying? He's saying, meet me where it all began. Meet me where it all started. Meet me back there. Meet me where I did the most powerful miracles of all. Meet me there. Meet me where you used to be fishing. Meet me. Remember when I called you? Remember when I said, come and follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men? I want you to meet me there. And there's a time in our lives, and maybe that time's today, there's a time when we need to go back to the beginning. There's a time when we need to go back to the start of what it was like when I started out with Jesus. Because if you're like me, sometimes you get on a road and you start following that road and you forget about where we started, Jesus and I. And I say Jesus first. It's Jesus and I, not me and Jesus. There's a There's something important about going back. Something so important about going back to the beginning. Back to when Jesus first called me. Do you remember, and maybe not everyone does, do you remember when Jesus first called you? Do you remember when he said, follow me? And you obeyed, and, you know, he chose you first, like he did with Andrew and with Peter. He says, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. But they were obedient, and they followed him. They got up, and we were told immediately they got up. Do you remember? Do you remember that first love? Do you remember the first time that the Holy Spirit was imparted into your life? Do you remember the joy and the fervor and the life? Do you remember it? Yeah. Do you remember it? That's why Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, meet me in Galilee. I want us to go back to the beginning. I want us to go back to when I first called you. And I want you to know, Jesus is saying this, surely he's saying this. He's saying, I want you to know that I am still the Jesus of power and the Jesus who is alive and who lives. I'm the same Jesus who called you originally. It's time for us to get back to the basics or back to the start. And I don't know what that means for you. I don't know what your Galilee is. I'm asking you that question today. What's your Galilee? Where did you first meet Jesus? When did he first cry out or call your name? And that might have been 20 years ago, like Don, or that might have been 50 years ago, or maybe you're like me. You grew up in a Christian family, and I heard his call over and over again. But I'll tell you this. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about this. But for me, my Galilee was 17 years ago, and it's almost always at Easter time that I think about this. It was 17 years ago for me that God changed my life, that he called me out of darkness and deceit and lies, and he gave me an ultimatum, really. You want to live or you want to die? It's pretty simple. That was my Galilee, and I'm reminded of that every Easter because my falling out and my getting kicked out of a church, which I deserved to get kicked out of because of the way I was living, and my sin was exposed right about a week after Easter time. I had done the Easter service the week before, and then everything came out that next week. That was my Galilee. But God is so amazingly faithful. And he's a God who says, do you love me? He said it to me. He really gave me a choice back then. He said, do you want to follow me or don't you want to follow me? Just make your mind up. And I'm going to give you an opportunity here, he said to me. I'm going to give you an opportunity just to get out of this mess. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be awful, and there's going to be all kinds of stuff that's going to be hard about this, but I'm going to give you a chance to get free if you want to get free. But you've got to decide if you're going to follow me or not. Yesterday, I was reminded of this when my son, who just left, which is probably a good thing, so we won't need to hear this part of it, but him and my grandson, we were sitting in a sandbox. We had this big bunch of sand in our backyard, and they were playing with a backhoe with a bunch of little tractors, and little Judah was playing with them, and Jabin said to me, Dad, do you remember that a number of years ago you almost bought a backhoe? And that's true. I said, yeah, I remember that. You see, back in those days, and this is probably maybe 15 years ago, a year or two years after I confessed my sin and I decided I was going to live for the Christ and have life in me, and really it's about freedom, okay? But about 2 years after, I had no job. I had 5 kids. My oldest son was 16 years at the time. We had no money. I was not very employable. I still have a Master of Divinity degree, which, surprise, surprise, doesn't work all that good on a resume. There's not a whole lot of people going, oh, you got a Master of Divinity degree. All right. We think you'll be pretty good at this. You know, I think we'll make you a CEO. You know, no one did that. I had no job. You know, and so I was looking at backhoes because I didn't know what else to do. I was going through the paper and Kijiji and thinking, well, it was craziness. I never drove a backhoe in my life. And if anybody would be hitting gas lines, it would be me. And don't laugh because, you know, that's true, right? Like, I just had to do, I was in a place in my life where I didn't know what God wanted me to do. And I didn't know, I didn't have enough money to buy a backhoe, but I could probably get some financing, and I was going to start this little business, of which I knew nothing about. And shortly after that, God said, no, I don't want you doing a backhoe. That's just stupid. Don't do that. Instead, I want you to just get involved in this Bible study. And Stan, I'm going to restore you. You need to be patient. And this desert, it might be a long desert. It takes a while. But I am not letting you, he made this very clear to me, and Crystal, if she was here, she'd say the same thing. Made it very clear when he said, I'm not letting you out of this desert until you've learned what you need to learn. That was my Galilee. There's a time in our lives, maybe you can look back to it and you go, that's when I started with Jesus. That's when I felt his touch. That is when he spoke to me through his Holy Spirit. There's a time in our lives where we have a Galilee, maybe not everybody, I don't know, but for many of us, there's a time in our lives where he says, this is where I had my encounter with the living Christ. And what he wants to say to you today, what he wants us to understand today, is that it's time to go back to Galilee. Because a lot of us have been wandering around in the desert. A lot of us are getting distracted, or we're seeing other road signs on the road we're on, or we're finding ourselves going off on all kinds of different directions. And he's saying, it's time that you get back to where this all started, where my relationship with you began. It's time that you remember when I called you. And I called your name, Garth, and you did something about it. It's time that you went back to that start. Because there's something that has been dying in you that I want to bring back to life. That's really what he's saying today. It's exactly what happened with the disciples. You know, what had died in them? Hope. They thought Jesus was dead. They thought it was all over. They thought there was no, what are we going to do now? We go back to fishing. Listen, it's what God's saying to you right now. Listen to this. There is something that is either dead in you, or it has been dying in you, that God wants to bring back to life. He wants to resurrect it in you. And it goes back to your first love. It means we go back to our first love, and we hear Jesus calling us to follow him. And this morning, I can't think of a better way to celebrate the resurrection of Christ, but by listening to this conviction, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when he says, here's something that it's time we change in your life. It's time that this comes back to life that has been dying in you. You've grown cynical. You've grown hardened in your heart, maybe. It's time that we soften your heart. It's time that we meet back in Galilee again. You getting this? It's time we get back to Galilee, we get back to the basics, we get back to the start here, and I'm going to empower you in a way that I never even did before, because now the Holy Spirit is going to come. And I'm going to fill you in such a way it's going to be beyond what you can ever imagine. And you're going to go out. You are going to go out into the world, and you are literally going to change the world for me. But it starts in Galilee. That's where it begins. This morning, I can't think of a better way to respond to the resurrected living Christ than to obey him. And maybe some of you are hearing his voice when I speak. I hope, and I believe that's true. I believe very much this is the word he wants for us today. And he's calling you. He's saying it's time that you come back. It's time that I breathe some new life into you. And I want to, I guess, give you that opportunity to do just that. I'm going to ask Rob and Jeanette if you'd come up. And Frank, would you come up, please? I want a few people here who are going to pray. Would you guys come up, Ted? Yeah, both of you, please, just come on up. You know, it doesn't matter who I call on, as long as they're believers in Christ. It's not them that are going to do anything. I never believed that it was, you know. It's Jesus who's going to do it. It's Jesus who cries and Jesus who calls for us to come. Luis, would you come up? I think one more. God wants this one more person. And I'm going to just say it one more time. I'm not going to do any more than that, that God calls us to life. He's calling you to live today. And he's calling you to come back to where this all began. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, just for the power of your word and the power of your spirit. Lord, sometimes we look at our lives and we wonder how we got to where we are. How do we get down this road so far away from you? We just badly need to go back to where we began, where you began with us, Jesus. And I pray, God, that, you know, this is all yours. This is all up to you, what happens here. And I pray, Lord, that you will lead us to the cross and that you'll reveal to, we need that revelation right now. You show us where we've gotten cynical, where we've gotten critical, where our hearts have grown a little crusty. God, just show us right now. If we leave here today and we just stubbornly go on our way, we have a choice, we can do that. But Lord, your spirit draws us to you. Your spirit, the Holy Spirit, draws us to life. And I thank you that you are God who reveals himself where we can say, it's the Lord. This is the Lord. And you're a God who forgives us. And all you ask us today, it's very simple. Just, do you love me? Finally, God, I just pray that you will build this church up, that you will make us into a powerhouse that you want us to be, that we will stop bickering and fighting and stop focusing on the things that are unimportant and instead join life to life. I pray, God, that you would move in the power of your Holy Spirit, and that the things that you did in Galilee, the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on the water, the healing of lepers, the deliverance of people who are demon-possessed, God, that you would find in us the obedience and the life, the resurrected life, Lord, that we'll see you moving in just the same ways today, so that the world will know that you are Jesus, the resurrected Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing He is Lord, and just ask you to come on up for prayer. And if you need to, you can get on your knees. And you know what? You don't need to pray with one of these people. If you don't feel like it, you just want to come up and kneel on the stairs. You want to have a quiet time with God, you do that too. There's really no rules. It's not rules, it's response. Amen. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just come to Jesus. He's my Lord. He's my Lord. He is risen from the grave. He's my Lord. And my knees shall bow. And my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Go ahead, Al. He's my Lord. Thank you. Abba. Every conqueror that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come to Jesus. He's calling you. He's my Lord.
He's my Lord.
He's my Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. And my knees shall bow. And my tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just their voices. He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is Lord.
He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord.
And my knees shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Don't worry about who's sitting beside you. Just come to Jesus. It's time to light the fire again. Time to light the fire again. Come to Jesus. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. Every tongue shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
God is so good. God is so good. God. I love Him so. Hallelujah. I love Him so. Hallelujah. I love Him so. He's so good to me. He died for me. Died for me. He died for me. He's so good to me. He rose again. Let's all stand up. He rose again. He rose again. He rose again. So good to me.
He lives in me.
He lives in me. Alleluia. He lives in me. Alleluia. He lives in me. He's so good to me. God is so God is so good. God is so good. He's
Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Yes,
yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells.
Amen. Remember this. Remember that He died for you and there's hope. Remember that He's alive and that we will be as alive, or He will be as alive in us as we are as we receive His life and we receive that resurrection power. Amen.
Amen.
Receive the blessing of God. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His face to shine upon you and give you His peace. God bless you. Go in the victory. You have the victory. Go in the life that He gives. Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
Go back to number that. I Will Rise song. I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know.
God bless you.
Heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well.